Black Is speaks to Issa Rae, creator of The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Who are you, Issa? Where did you come from? What is your background?
Wow. I'm a writer first and foremost. I've been writing since I was very young, and my mom always encouraged us to just tap into our creative side. She's very much my aunt, and my mom was very much about the arts. And so I just always had a passion for telling stories, and I think that passion for film came when I saw Love and Basketball for the first time, and that movie just touched me, just the fact that it was written, directed, and produced by a black female, and it was the first black movie that I had seen where it wasn't about the black struggle or, you know, extra dramatic or anything. It was just about a, you know, middle class girl who's in love with a boy, and that touched me. I was like, okay, I can be a black female filmmaker and not have to make movies about black people struggling. And so she inspired me to write my first script at 16. And then, you know, looking back now, that script is horrible. But it was just, you know, it was like a path, and it was a step in that direction. And then when I went to college, I met Tracy. And by that time, I was already like producing and directing my own plays, because I was into acting in high school and I was in all of the plays. But I went to an all-black high school in Compton, slash what.
Okay.
And the drama director would cater to you know, the black students and put on these wonderful black plays. When I went to Stanford, that just didn't exist. Like, there were no black plays. There wasn't a black department for drama. So the roles weren't really, there weren't any for me. So when I met Tracy, she had started, like, a black stage theater group. I didn't know about it until I tried to use my first play. It was like a Spike Lee adaptation of School Days, and then we met up and our interests aligned in terms of film, and we wrote our first book together. And just from that point on, I just knew that I wanted to be in the film and TV industry.
Alrighty. That's awesome.
Well, that was a long-winded answer. My dad moved us to Senegal because he thought we needed discipline, and then we went to Maryland, and then came back to L.A. So really just different parts, but I play in L.A.
Okay, and what I think what's so great for somebody like me who is a native as well, watching your show, of course, we notice all these landmarks. We're like, yeah, that's on Manchester and Crenshaw.
Right.
Yeah, she's on Angeles Vista. I would say that there's a definite void right now in pop culture when it comes to black female archetypes. Just in media, I feel like reality TV has created this new archetype that, and that's basically all we see. I want to know why you chose this black girl. Why the awkward black girl? And then why did you decide to star as that character? Why did you play her?
Well, I wanted that character because, like you said, there is a void. I feel like there's only like two or three black female archetypes that we see on screen, and I didn't relate to any of them. Like, it's not, I'm not, you know, pregnant with four kids, sleeping with five different men. I'm not raspy obese black woman. You know, like, I related to this different type of character that I always see white people portray.
Okay.
And it's such that I can't even see, you know, it's disheartening to watch TV and not be able to see someone of color that you can relate to.
Right.
It always has to be someone white. So I thought that this character wasn't representative, and it's a funny character. So I didn't initially want to play her. I wanted it to be an animated series, but you know, animation costs way more money than I thought it did. I couldn't go the bootleg route. So I was like, you know, getting to a point where I felt like the time was necessary to put out this character. The time was running out because I had been sitting on it for 2 years.
Okay.
And so I was like, you know what, forget it. I'll play it.
Right.
Just to get it done.
Okay. That's awesome. Some of the topics that you guys discuss on the show that are brought up in the episodes are topics that we've discussed in our podcast series, and we did a round table with all black women, and so there were things that you talked about that we talked about, and I wanted to ask you to speak a little further about why you chose to bring these topics in to Awkward Black Girl. The first one is black hair.
Oh, God. just because I have no all my life. Like, when I did grow up in Maryland, I didn't really have any black friends. Not by choice. It was just, you know, I was in an environment where there were so many, you know, other races. There weren't that many black people in my elementary school. And so a lot of them hadn't dealt with my kind of hair before. So there were a lot of questions. And I wasn't angry about it. You know, I didn't get angry about it or irritated by it until, you know, I got older and I got tired of these questions and stupid questions. Treating my hair like it was not of this earth, you know, that's when, you know, I thought that would be a funny topic to take on, because I know that I wasn't the only one going through that.
Right.
So, yeah, black hair is just such a mystifying thing to people of other races. It's just, you know, why wouldn't I take that on?
Right. And then the next one would be beef between black women. You introduced all these different types of women, and that just all happen to be black in your office. The one that's always having drama and crying, the one that's just the bitch, and then of course Jay's arch nemesis, Nina. So why that topic?
Wow, you know, I didn't even think about it that way, because I personally cannot stand women that hate other women.
Right.
It's just like, I've met a lot of women that are like, I can't stand females, and you know, like, they don't have any female friends, and I'm the exact opposite of that. I have a lot of female friends. So it's funny, yeah, that take on it. I don't know, like, I think that the women in the show just have characteristics that Jay doesn't appreciate, because there is one that either talks too much about drama or is exceptionally rude. So I think it's a play more on the type of characters they are, rather than the fact that they're female. Nina's just, you know, an aggressive, obnoxious person who loves to abuse power. So, yeah, I don't think that Jay necessarily has beef with females or women in general, but she does not. She just knows what she doesn't like in people.
The final one, of course, is interracial dating.
So, I just know, like, I've always seen either friends, whether guy friends or girlfriends, you know, everybody was so opinionated about the topic, and I personally haven't dated outside of my race, because the opportunity hasn't really presented itself, or if it has, you know, maybe I wasn't feeling them. But, like, I'm not opposed to it in any way. So I just know that it is such a heavy topic in our community, and I thought that, you know, it would be fun to make light of it. As I mentioned, I haven't done it, but Tracy co-wrote the episode with me and interracially dated a lot, like white men especially.
Okay.
So she was just sounding funny, like the different things, like a white date after the afternoon date, and the dressing casually. Like, she just knew she wanted to put all of that in there, because literally every date she's been on, they followed those steps, those ideals.
Okay, and the choice of going to the soul food restaurant.
Yeah, that was my choice. I wanted to make it, like, he was sweet, he was trying, but, you know, everything that he was trying was racist in him. I mean, like, why would you assume I like spoken word because I have short hair? And I have to be in real life a lot of times because I love poetry and spoken word, and I don't, just because the way I look, and he's wearing head wraps and things like that, so they assume.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to play on that.
Okay. And I think we touched on this a little bit with you speaking about wanting this originally to be animated, but why did you choose to make it into a webisodic series?
Well, I did want it to be a webisode. I love the web as a medium because it's just so open, it's free to instant feedback, and people share social networks. Social media is just amazing in that vein. So I knew I wanted to make it a web series. I chose not to make it animated yet because of a lack of budget and everything. Every episode up until episode 5 was done without any kind of money, any kind of budget. It was out of pocket. So I knew I couldn't afford animation.
I hear you. But I heard that your campaign to raise funds was a definite success. So congratulations on that. And I also read that the show is now in the stages of being developed for a half-hour cable series. When can your fans expect to see that?
So we're actually debating. So the Trish and I are both represented by different agencies, and we were thinking about trying to pitch it and sell it to them. But at age, you know, we're not at like millions of views or anything like that, and so the show is subject to be changed. Like, they can change the cast, if it's a spot, they can change the premise, the title, the concept, all of these things. And so we would rather keep it on the web and continue to build an audience and be in a position where networks could possibly come to us and want to develop it, and we'd have more creative control in terms of making sure that the show has the same and maintains the same vision that it came out with. So okay. I think we're really, we've got a lot of opportunities to keep it on the web. If we can find a way to monetize it, then that would just be ideal.
Right.
See what happens from there.
I hear that. Okay, so there will definitely be more coming to us online, so we'll know how it wraps up between, is it going to be Jay and Fred or Jay and White Jay?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then what about your other projects, Issa? The F Word, Dorm Diaries, I got into them. Do you see yourself developing those projects further or turning them into anything at some point?
Yeah, I would love to, especially Dorm Diaries, because there's just such a void. You know, a different world, nothing has touched that.
No.
Yeah, it's just out of the air. Like, and that was just, that made Black people want to go to college. Like, it was
yes.
so positive. It was a good show, so positive in many ways. And we don't have anything like that. So I would love to have another college-esque show, especially in the Black community.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'd love to develop that in the future. We'll see. And as for the F-Word, you know, I'm continuing to work on that because I just love them. They have such a good chemistry with one another. We just started a season 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So there'll be more of them as well.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that thing because you have definitely brought something refreshing to us.
Oh, thank you.
And something that just deviates away from the norm, that is not only just smart but entertaining. And so I'm definitely looking forward to the future of Issa Rae Productions altogether.
Thank you.